Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
What happened on Bloody Sunday was both unjustified and unjustifiable. It was wrong.
That's British Prime Minister David Cameron earlier this week apologizing for the 1972 killings of 14 unarmed demonstrators by British soldiers in Northern Ireland. I'm Jamie Floyd in for Brian Lehrer. Joining me now to discuss the Cameron apology, what, if anything, will come next in the long and painful dialogue between the British and the Irish, and for a longer conversation about the value of such public apologies, if any, is Neil O'Dowd. He's the publisher of the website IrishCentral.com. He also founded the Irish American Magazine and the Irish Voice newspaper. Neil, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you very much, Jamie.
Well, Neil, in a commentary for the Irish Voice this week, you called the admission by David Cameron that those killed on Bloody Sunday were innocent of any crime, quote, an extraordinary statement. Why extraordinary?
Well, we have become conditioned as Irish people to believe that the British government, when it came to the issue of their own army and their activities in Northern Ireland, would constantly cover up and deny everything that happened. So when David Cameron came out and accepted fully the report which was prepared by Lord Saville, it was really an extraordinary moment because, frankly, no one quite expected the sincerity of the apology and the fact that he was so upfront by saying that wrong was done to innocent civilians. And I think it had a remarkable effect. In fact, to the point where you had this amazing scene where nationalists in Derry, which is one of the most nationalist and republican areas in Ireland, standing up and cheering for a British Prime Minister and a Tory Prime Minister at that. So it was a remarkable moment.
A little incongruous.
Incredibly incongruous, but also, I think, a wonderful validation of the Irish peace process, which has allowed the British Prime Minister and allowed Irish nationalists to see each other for, you know, on the best aspects of their behaviour, rather than what we were used to for 30 years, which was each side denying everything that was going on that was wrong and blaming the other person. I think this is a profound moment. There is one precedent when former Prime Minister Tony Blair stood up and apologised for the famine, which again was a historic moment and really sort of, you talked about the new relationship or what this will do for the relationship between the British and the Irish. It actually will bring it forward remarkably, I think, in my opinion.
But now, Neil, the government in London will still have to tackle the difficult question of whether an apology is enough, whether any of the soldiers, for example, or their commanders should be prosecuted criminally. In your view, Neil, and this really isn't just a question about Ireland, because we always have to think beyond the apology, do you think there should be prosecutions?
I personally don't. I think that there are two reasons for that. One is the soldiers who did the killing were taking orders from higher up. There is no question whatsoever about that. And if you're going to put the soldiers on trial, you're going to have to put a lot of commanders, and who knows how high up the chain that particular order came. The night before Bloody Sunday, one of the witnesses at the tribunal identified as soldier 027, said that they were told to go out tomorrow and, quote, get some kills. He did not identify who made that statement, but clearly if you're going to put the soldiers in the dock, you're going to have to put an awful lot more people than the soldiers in terms of who actually carried out the policy. And I think the history of Ireland over the last 10-15 years since the peace process has really caught on has been that we accept these incidents, we accept the historical reality of what happened, but that people want to get on with it. And I think that's been a huge success. I mean, after the IRA ceasefires, after the Loyalist ceasefires, people were released from prison. Their sentences were effectively terminated early, and with the vast majority of them went back into society and actually spread the good word about the peace process and what it could do for the communities. I think it's worked.
But then there's the possibility of something perhaps less than a prosecution, but maybe bigger philosophically, like a truth and reconciliation process of the sort we saw in South Africa. You know, we have the World Cup being played there with all eyes on that country.
Right.
What about something like that in the case of Northern Ireland?
Yeah, that has certainly been suggested. But you know, I actually think we're at the stage where we need to leave the sleeping ghost lie and get on with the work, which is very dramatically been done in Northern Ireland. I mean, if you had told me 10, 15 years ago that the Reverend Ian Paisley would go into government with a former head of the IRA, I'd have suggested you get some psychiatric treatment. That happened. And you have a power-sharing government now in place, which has just agreed a new process of government. I think what you're witnessing in Ireland is a real desire and wish on both sides of the divide to actually get on with stuff rather than dwell too much on the past. I think a Truth and Reconciliation Commission could certainly expose wrongs equally perhaps on both sides, but I'm not sure it would prove anything in the end. I think the Bloody Sunday apology was very, very important for one reason only, that of all the people killed in Northern Ireland, no one ever blackened the victims like these victims were blackened, that they were somehow gunmen or they had set out that day to actually engage the British Army. They had not. They were actually civil rights protesters who were protesting internment without trial, which had occurred in August of that year. And they were going down in cold blood. And I think for the families, there was a remarkable need for that clarity of what actually happened to them.
I understand. And that gets back to your earlier point about the innocent statement and how extraordinary that is. I'm Jamie Floyd in for Brian Lehrer. We are talking public apologies, most specifically the British apology for Bloody Sunday that has come almost 40 years after the fact, but also more broadly about the value of public apologies from the BP apology at the White House this week to the Clinton apology all those years ago for slavery. And we want to hear from our listeners. What do you think of the public apology? Does it mean anything to you? Did you appreciate the Cameron apology, the apology from BP? Did you value Bill Clinton's apology for slavery? Do you want your leaders to apologize, or do you want something more? Call us at 212-433-9692. That's 212-433-WNYC, or go to the website WNYC.org and click on Brian's page to post a comment. Neil, yesterday we had a very public apology from BP about the disaster in the Gulf, and it bears repeating. So let's hear it again. And then after that, you're going to hear the words of Congressman Joe Barton apologizing yesterday for his words related to the massive disaster.
The explosion and fire aboard the Deepwater Horizon and the resulting oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico never should have happened. And I'm deeply sorry that it did.
I'm ashamed of what happened in the White House yesterday. I think it is a tragedy of the first proportion that a private corporation can be subjected to what I would characterize as a shakedown.
So we have Joe Barton of Texas. He's the House's top recipient of oil industry campaign contributions. Of course, he later apologizes for apologizing to the chief of the BP company. He does a sort of double mea culpa, which reminds me of the old Connie Francis song, Who's Sorry Now? But Neil O'Dowd, back to the larger issue of public apologies. I think it's fair to say that the BP apology of Wednesday was met by the American people with ambivalence at best. You know, an apology in the face of all that oil seems almost silly. At bottom, what do you think is the real value in an apology? You suggested in your column in the Irish Voice that had the apology from Britain come sooner, come back in the day, 38 years ago, it might have changed the course of history. And so one has to wonder what the value is now, all these years later.
Yeah, I have to say I firmly believe that the birth of the IRA was directly related to Bloody Sunday, and it wasn't just the event itself, but the cover-up that immediately came afterwards. The British then appointed Lord Widgery to investigate the killings of Bloody Sunday, and he came back with this completely contemptuous report that, in fact, some of the demonstrators were armed, that they had fired guns, and that basically the British Army were responding rather than initiating the violence. And that, of course, drove nationalists even deeper into despair, and essentially led to a huge amount of recruitment for the IRA. Because if you remember back then in 1972, the civil rights movement was a key movement in Northern Ireland. it was still developing. It was fighting over issues that now seem so antiquated as one man, one vote, which didn't exist at the time. But they were still making progress until Bloody Sunday. And then suddenly after Bloody Sunday, nationalists lost complete confidence in the British rule of Northern Ireland, and the IRA was the big beneficiary of that. But if that apology that was issued the other day had been issued back then, I think we would have seen a very different Northern Ireland. I don't think there would have been the same huge drift towards violence against the state as there was after the Widgery report, which was widely dismissed as a whitewash.
All right, let's take a call from Bill in Spring Lake, New Jersey. Bill, you're on with Neil O'Dowd.
Thanks very much for taking my call, and good morning to Mr. O'Dowd. I'm American, as you can tell by my accent, but my wife and her family are Irish. We lived in Ireland for a long time, and we'd be very close to these kind of issues. And I think Mr. O'Dowd hit the nail on the head. All apologies aren't equal, but David Cameron's apology, the sincerity of it, the fact that he was a Tory politician, the fact that he didn't mince his words, I think it was actually an extraordinary moment. I was impressed by the fact that he seemed to be speaking about Ireland and the Irish as an other, as a separate country. There was an implicit recognition in the words that he chose that the British Army was operating in someone else's country when this occurred. I thought it was just, if you look at the statement and read the words in their entirety, it was extraordinary in how far it went to recognize the truth of what happened. I guess my point being, not all apologies are equal. There's questions of timing and sincerity and the choice of language and the setting in which it's made. And, I would give a lot of credit to David Cameron for what he said. It certainly wouldn't have come out of Margaret Thatcher's mouth.
I think you make the exact point, because when we think of the Tory party, we think of Margaret Thatcher and how she, for instance, allowed the hunger strikers in 1981 to die, and how she continuously refused to take on any validation of the nationalist position in Northern Ireland, and how different David Cameron has become. I mean, there's a column in the Guardian newspaper today that says how insane this would be, but if you were to suggest the freedom of the city of Derry for the British Prime Minister David Cameron, it would probably be granted by nationalists right now. That's how strongly they feel about how important that apology was. And this goes to the very dignity of people, and particularly, I think, of the families of the 14. One of them, incidentally, those of you who are interested in sport, John Duddy, who's a very well-known boxer over here, his uncle was one of those killed. And John, we spoke with this week in the newspaper. He was preparing for a fight down in Texas, a big fight, which will lead to a world title fight, he thinks. But he said that he remembers as a kid just how this death of his uncle had completely cast a cloud over the family life, and how difficult it was for the family, and then how the night that the apology came through, he felt personally that a massive weight had been lifted off his family forever.
And thanks to Bill for his call very much. Beverly in Manhattan, you're on with Neil O'Dowd.
Yeah, I do believe that there is differences in apologies, and some are have more weight than others. But I'm curious, was there any compensation to the families? Because I think most people would feel that it would be just a slap on the wrist for something so gross as murdering someone and admitting to it, even if it's been so many years. But I do believe something like slavery, that was definitely not acceptable. I think there should be some compensation and some way to really show that this is something you should not ever see happen again in history. This is how we learn when we teach our children. They're punished for doing something wrong. And they say, well, Mommy, I'm sorry. But when you find that it's something really terrible, they have to be punished, not in severe ways necessarily, but some kind of punishment. And I think it should be with leaders of countries or anything else on that scale.
And Neil, there are, famous public apologies over time. The Japanese apologizing for the Second World War, the Pope apologizing for the Holocaust, as we mentioned, Clinton apologizing for slavery in Australia, the apology to the Aboriginal people. Right. But without some measure of action, it can ring hollow.
Yeah, well, you know, the other big apology, and you referenced it there to some extent, the Pope apologized for the sex abuse charges against a large number of priests in Ireland. And that apology did not go down well because people did not see the action. People did not see the follow-up, the full prosecution of those priests who committed child abuse acts. And it's interesting when you look at those two apologies because one came after a 12-year report, blow-by-blow analysis of everything that happened that day and a complete and absolute vindication of the victims on that day. And the other one, which was the Pope saying something without really people in Ireland feeling there was any significant follow-up to what he was saying.
Well, Neil O'Dowd, this has been very enlightening. And, of course, as you said earlier, the real key now is to move forward and look to the future. And this apology perhaps in the very least allows that to happen. We thank you very much for being with
thank
us
you.
Today. My guest has been Neil O'Dowd, publisher of the website IrishCentral.com. Next up, pump up your tires, flex your muscles. It's time to ride your bike up to the 37th annual Skyscraper Harlem Classic.